Hello, welcome to the Good Ship Illustration Podcast. We're here to offer no-nonsense advice to illustrators and image makers navigating a creative career. In the Good Ship, there are three of us, I'm Katie Chappell, and there's Helen Stevens and Tanya Willis too. We are celebrating our flagship course, Find Your Creative Voice, Fly Your Freak Flag, being open this week. So we've got lots of episodes all about finding your creative voice. We've got another juicy question.
Yay.
This one says, do you think it's worth paying for a critique of a story or dummy book to gauge whether it has publishing potential? I've written and illustrated two picture books, but they need a lot of work. I love your message about learning on the job, and it would be so encouraging to have these as projects to work on with potential. Thank you.
This is interesting, isn't it? Because not all critique is equal, is it? It depends who you get that advice from. And my advice really would be just really try and get a foot in the door with publishers, really try and get in there and get a meeting with the people who commission you. So are you sending out enough samples? Are you writing notes with those samples saying, any chance I could come and see you and show you my folio? Because it's so inspiring to get a meeting with an editor. They will look at those dummies and they'll know exactly how to knock those into shape. There are other places to get crits, but you need to really do your research, don't you, to find out who will give the right kind of advice. It's very hard.
We've had horror stories of people having a portfolio review and just being devastated by it.
It's so awful, isn't it?
Because you're really putting your trust in somebody to look at your work and give you constructive criticism. So you want to make sure somebody has a track record of giving useful feedback.
You want them to be realistic, but not just kind of stamp on your dreams, because from years of teaching, I know that sometimes I'm thinking of somebody that I was at art school with. I won't say who, Tanya, but you'll probably remember this person. When we first started on the course, this person, I don't even want to say him or her, their work was really bad, like a really bad mess. And it turned out this person was going through a huge amount of trouble at home, like really bad personal stuff. And once that stuff was over, his work just like blossomed into this incredible work, and he stood out. I'm saying he now, I've given away that. His work really stood out in the course, and you think, I was so wrong to think there was no potential there.
Yeah.
Because just round the corner, just a life change, a big life change at home, just round the corner was this incredible work. So it's really bad to end up in a crit with somebody. Crit, that's the wrong word.
Feedback,
portfolio review with somebody, and they stamp on your dreams like that because they have no idea what you're capable of.
And equally, because it's quite an unregulated business, you could have people who are just too kind, too generous, say what you think, what you want to hear. And what you said about publishers, I think, is better, because you're actually talking to the people who will give you very clear feedback. And again, you'd have to match your work to publishers you think have the sensitivity to handle it, because equally knockbacks from publishers can be a little bit demoralizing. But if you cast your net widely enough, including the Katie 100 No Thank Yous competition, which these would definitely count towards that, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You could get a good 30 publishers in there, and you're a third of the way through the project, and you'd get something for sure from 30 send outs. That sounds a bit overwhelming, but it's doable.
I used to send out big batches of samples. I would get home from work at my job at the Science Museum, I had to have my dinner, clear the table, and sit there with loads of postcards and write 30 of them in one go. And on my way to work the next day, I'd stick them in the postbox, and I would do it again and again. And I would approach the same people again and again, but with new samples. Because if you don't hear back, you have no idea why. It might be that they love it and they've stuck your sample on the wall, but the right project hasn't come along. Next time you send a sample, they might ring you and say, yeah, bring your folio in. So just keep sending out the work, because the feedback from publisher is really the holy grail, isn't it?
I suppose a publisher's feedback, they're invested in you doing the best possible work so that they can sell more books. Like, it totally makes sense. Yeah. Whereas if you're paying somebody for a portfolio review, I don't know, they're getting paid regardless.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a different, like, you've got to choose that for the paid review person really carefully.
Yeah, exactly. It could be great, and it could be worth it. If you can find someone who you think is totally aligned with your values and your project, Yeah, maybe. But I love Helen's ballsy approach. I'll just send them another postcard 3 months later.
But it's all right. People are busy.
If they don't want it, they chuck it in the bin. I don't know. I haven't lost anything.
Yeah, exactly. What's the worst that could happen? But I used to even find that follow-up thing, and you've said it too, follow-up is key. But when I was younger, I was way too nervous to follow up on things. And I look back now, I think, God, it's by post, it's virtual, it's light touch.
Yeah.
No one's going to call you up and say, could you please stop annoying me with these postcards?
And that's a very worst case scenario, and nobody can be bothered to do that. So you're fine.
I once had a really horrible critique session once. She didn't slate my work or anything like that, but she spent, and it was with quite a famous person. And she had tried to get into children's book publishing and not been successful and ended up doing this instead. And she just ranted about all of the bad people in publishing and what they'd done wrong to her. And I was there for about an hour and paid for it and left.
No way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That is, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
What a career track. It's like life's revenge. Children's book publishing won't accept me, so I'm just going to devote myself to...
I'm going to make you hate the world of children's book publishing, so you don't want to do it.
But would you say that a good way to go about it would be to get the writer and artist yearbook for this year and get on editors' website? It's places where people share new call-outs, aren't there? Editors looking for specifically... young children's stories with this particular content. That if you could spend the energy that you would convert into cash to pay for a review, but just use it to trawl through, and actually you'd learn so much at the same time, wouldn't you? Reading about what editors are looking for.
There are people who do good critique sessions as well. If you ask around other illustrators, you'll be able to judge who is actually giving really useful advice. Not necessarily publishers, but other people. There are lots of illustrators who will see your folio and charge you a fee. Yeah. But it's best to ask around and see other people's experience of that.
Definitely. And it might be, like we mentioned before, you might not be in a position where you're ready for a portfolio critique because you may be going through something, or you've just come back to illustration after a long break or something. Or, you know, you've got some potential in your work and you kind of know what you could be doing anyway. Because in the Find Your Creative Voice course, we spend so much energy on encouraging you to boost your own confidence, your self-confidence and belief in your own work, that you can kind of give your own portfolio critique. Because you know what work you like the best and what work feels best for you to do. So rather than kind of putting your energy out there and giving the power to somebody else, you can like suck it all back in and be like, this is what I want to do and this is how it's going. I'm going to do this now. That can feel really powerful. Mm. And it's you know, you have to pay.
And this person said that they'd been published twice. So they...
No, I think she says, I've written and illustrated 2 picture books, but they need a lot of work. So I think has 2 sort of dummy books ready to show around. I don't think she's published yet.
And would you send those as dummy books to publishers?
Yeah, you can send a dummy, or you could send thumbnail sketches of the ideas and some samples of the illustration. Because this person is... a writer illustrator, so samples of your illustrations.
Definitely sounds like the publisher.
What do you think about getting feedback from your family?
Oh God, no, yeah. don't! Your mum is always going to think whatever you've done is the best thing ever in the entire world.
Yeah,
and everybody else, they'll just be like, "Oh yeah, that looks like a horse, and you were drawing a horse. Amazing!" Like they're so not in the right part of the world.
No, they're just, and they're not professional, are they? I mean, even that thing of going to, like you said, when we go to Bologna. When Katie and I went the first time and you were a veteran, you knew that you would see work from all over the world that was completely different, and that there were so many themes and subject matters and depictions that even in British illustration, you'd think, oh, no, they don't like that. You can't do that in kids' books. But there they were, all versions of everything in this place. But certain countries were a bit more progressive. Other places were a bit more traditional and limited. But you do... that's a good way to see the industry and the tolerances of the industry for what you're writing. And even if the manuscript or the story needs help, like you said, Walker, other places like that help.
Or every publisher I've ever worked with really helped me knock the story into shape. So I go along with a kind of a wobbly jelly of an idea, and they get their butter patters out and they pat me into shape until the story kind of takes shape. Really, a publisher is the best person to get advice from, and they will you know, they do commission stories that are not quite ready yet, and they help you knock them into shape.
So they can see if you've got the kernel of a perfect idea. Then if the writing's a bit baggy or something, they can work on that.
They'd almost rather that, wouldn't they? If they can see the bones.
I think they like, they really like to be involved,
Okay, let's sprinkle some nice words about the course in while the doors are open.
Shall I read out this testimonial here, Anne? I really like this one.
Good.
If you are hesitating about signing up for this course, just dive in. You won't regret it.
It's so determined, isn't it?
And then the slightly longer one is, I'm so happy I found The Good Ship, as it's been a breath of fresh air. It's exactly what I've needed to mix up my creativity and relearn my illustration. The kind, uplifting yet challenging words shared each week have helped me to keep going and sailing on towards discovering my own voice. Thank you, Good Ship crew.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Lovely.
So the doors to the course are open now, and we have art club on Friday. In fact, the doors close at art club on Friday.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. See you there.